Wednesday, July 13th, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, I'd like to thank you for joining us today as we talk sports here on the Daily Dose in our own unique way. But if you would like to recommend the podcast to someone else, let them know they can find it on iTunes, they can find it on Stitcher, somewhere like Google Play, the usual places, or they can head over to rogueintel.com where they can listen to the Daily Dose as well as some of the other podcasts that are over on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. You know, Duff over there, he does a great job of finding podcasts that might be a little bit under the radar, but he finds ones that have something interesting to say every single week. And whether it's Duff's own show, the Prime Podcast, or one of the many other podcasts that are over there, you know, he's got podcasts like Remedial Radio, Now That I'm Older, maybe the Powerful Nerdcast. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to them while I'm working. I listen to them while I might be out working out or maybe driving in my car or something. I have subscribed to a number of these podcasts myself just from kind of getting to know the people over there, but they have really, really good shows over there. Now, if you would like to contact The Daily Dose, we have an email show coming up very soon, and we would love to hear from you. I have a number of emails. I have some questions. I have some comments that I will be glad to read to you here in a few weeks on the email show. But if you would like to contribute, feel free to send your questions and comments to dailydosesports@gmail.com. Or if you don't feel like emailing us, you can hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. Now, you can also visit our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We put up a new article or two every single week. This past week, we talked about some of the crazy NBA contracts that are out there right now. It's insane some of the money that is getting thrown around. So you might want to head over to the website and check that out. Now, this week on the show, you know, I told you I had a few different things for you this summer. It's kind of that time of year when there just isn't much going on. And I don't want to do a show about nothing. I'm not Seinfeld. And let's be honest, you don't want to hear a show about nothing either. So I have a few things to kind of keep you entertained during these quiet months that are pretty tough for sports fans everywhere. We're going to get to those things in just 1 minute. But, you know, actually a few things did happen this week that I want to touch on. First off, Major League Baseball had its All-Star game last night. The Home Run Derby, of course, was Monday night. We saw Giancarlo Stanton knocking ball after ball over the fence. The only thing that got hit harder than the balls going over the fence was probably that poor ball girl that got crushed in the outfield as they were kind of shagging. You know, some young kids were shagging some of the balls that didn't quite make it over the fence. This poor girl got absolutely obliterated. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. But more importantly, I have to tell you, and you know, the Home Run Derby, it's kind of like the NBA like dunk contest. Like, it's not, like, it used to be kind of interesting, and now it's kind of not as interesting. I'm pretty sure the ball's juiced. You're just throwing again and again and again. It's the same thing again and again. More importantly, we have to hear ESPN's Chris Berman doing the back 47,000 times. If I don't hear that again ever, it will be too soon. And I get it. There's only so many ways to describe a home run. Like, there's only so many ways you can say, oh, the ball went over the fence. Hey, look, the ball went over the fence again. I understand. It's out of here. So long. That one's not coming back. Whatever. But could we mix it up a little? Do we have to yell back on every single one? Because, like, Stanton, in the first round, he hit like 27 out. I had to hear that like 27 different times, and he was just one of the guys that was in it. Could we mix it up a little bit? Couldn't we maybe come up with some new home run calls? Like, that's like the Russian track team at the Olympics. Just kind of change it up. You know, can we get some new calls? Maybe it's long, it's far, it's like Ray Rice's wife in an elevator, folks. I mean, come on, be creative is what I'm saying. Be creative, come up with something new. Now, I have a very intelligent audience. If you have some suggestions of your own as to some new home run calls, send them to me. I would be glad to read them because I got a little bit tired of hearing that again and again and again. Got a little old. What else did we have going this week? Let's see. San Antonio Spurs great Tim Duncan retired on Monday. The big fundamental. I've told you in the past, if I'm putting together a team, if I'm putting together a team that I, you know, you're going to pick your guys, I'm going to pick my guys. One of the players that I'm going to want on my team is Tim Duncan. I don't know if he's a four. I don't know if he's a five. I know he's a post player. To be honest, I don't really care what he is. I know this. He won. Tim Duncan was a winner. 19 seasons, 5 NBA championships, 2 NBA MVPs. He was named to the All-Star Game 15 different times. It wasn't flashy. Wasn't a lot of dunks. Wasn't a lot of big highlight plays. You know, if you like search his YouTube highlights, it's probably him like sliding over to play some help side defense. Maybe he makes that perfect bounce pass. Probably that little 15-foot kiss off the glass. But dude has a handful of jewelry. And yes, I know, he was kind of boring. Sometimes he seemed like a robot. He probably put his seatbelt and adjusted, you know, all of his mirrors before he even starts the car. He's kind of that guy. But dude is a top 10 player. And I don't know if you know his background. You know, he wasn't born in the United States. He was actually born in the Virgin Islands. He didn't even pick up basketball until like the 9th grade or something. He was a swimmer his whole life. And then a couple, like some college coaches saw him playing pickup ball in the Virgin Islands, and they were like, wow, we need to take a look at this kid. He ended up coming over to Wake Forest, played a phenomenal career in college, and then went on to the pros. But, I mean, this is a guy that is probably a top 10 player in NBA history. And he brought the Spurs, I mean, he's kind of synonymous now with the Spurs with winning, with kind of class. He wasn't flashy, wasn't outspoken, but, you know, the NBA is going to miss a player like Tim Duncan. So all the best, you Dungeons and Dragons playing cyborg nerd. Tim Duncan, you will definitely be missed. That's a guy that we won't be having around anymore. He gave it up. I told you after that Oklahoma City series, remember at the end of that series when they got knocked out and he kind of walked out and he kind of turned and he waved to everyone? Struck me then that maybe he was done. Wasn't quite sure, but maybe just physically, you know, decided he couldn't do it anymore. Hey, we have a lot to get to. Got kind of the bulk of the show that we want to get to, but I got to play a few, quick ads. Got to pay a few bills. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. I've got something that I think you're really, really going to like.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now.
Hi, guys. It's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at rogueintel.com.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the Powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian, join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the Powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
Okay, you know, I considered doing just a regular Daily Dose show this week, but there's not a whole lot going on. And here's the deal. It's too hot. It is too hot. I mean, I'm in Colorado. It's been close to 100 for like a week straight here, and I'm not used to that. I am not used to that kind of heat. I like the snow. I like the cold. It's kind of funny. I'll be here, and I have some friends down south. And I'll say, hey, you know it's snowing here? It's 10 below zero or whatever. And they're like, oh, it's 75 here. And I'm going, I was bragging. I know you think that I'm like miserable. I'm not. I like the cold. It is too hot right now. I can't stand it. I mean, it is so hot right now that Johnny Manziel would test positive for water. And, you know, I know that we have some listeners all over. I know we have listeners across the United States. I know we even have listeners in other countries. And I know that I can't be the only one that is hot. I've heard from some of you that listen outside when you're working, or maybe when you're driving, or even when you're working out, maybe when you're outside walking your dog, whatever it is. And so I thought, you know, I should try to help them cool down just a little bit. Because, I mean, when I'm out doing those things, I know that I would like, you know, some cool refreshment. And I thought, you know, I could send you each like a cold beverage, but I'm going to be honest, I don't know all of your addresses. So I figured the next best thing would be to take you back to a cooler time. Take you back just a little bit. So right now today, we bring you Christmas in July. You know, I know the holiday season, it gets super busy. Sometimes you might miss a show. You don't have time to listen to everything. You're doing so many different things. So we're just going to take you on a brief flashback back to a few things that you might have missed around the holiday time. I hope that you enjoy the Daily Dose Christmas in July. Let me ask you this. Are you ready for Thanksgiving? Are you ready? It's tomorrow. It's coming quickly. You know, Thanksgiving to me is kind of an underrated holiday. It doesn't get like the publicity that like, you know, Christmas does. There's not all the hype and all the media coverage and all the stuff that is jammed down your throat like it is for Christmas. It doesn't have kind of that party feel, that cool kind of feel to it, like maybe a New Year's or like a, I don't know, Halloween, something like that. But think about how great Thanksgiving is. For one thing, there's no presents involved. I don't have to go shopping and buy some garbage that no one really needs. That isn't necessary. You don't have to go buy some silly costume or go to some obnoxiously loud club to count down, you know, when it hits New Year's or something like that. You don't have to drop, like $400 on fireworks or even hire an NFL player to shoot them off for you. Thanksgiving might be the most American holiday of them all. No presents, no theme, little bit of work involved, a little bit of ingenuity involved. But basically, what Thanksgiving is about is, hey, gorge yourself and watch some football. That's it. Like, that's the end. It's not like, well, and then we're going to put this in the room. No. Jam yourself as full of food as you possibly can. Like, and we go out of our way to make sure we're getting enough food. Because we're like, well, yeah, we got a full, like, 15-pound turkey. No, but did you get the ham? Do we have the ham? Because if we don't have the ham, it doesn't really count. Do we have the potatoes? Do we have the dressing? Did we stuff some extra food inside of our food to make sure that we got more food involved? I mean, does it get more American than that? And then, you know, just when you think you've jammed as much food into yourself as you possibly can, we say, hey, we've got about 13 pies out here that we've got to eat too. I mean, that giant meals, appetizers, desserts, this is gluttony at its finest, and I love it. I love the only drawback, honestly, the only drawback that you could possibly have for Thanksgiving is that you might run into this situation. You could find yourself sitting at a table with people maybe you don't know quite as well. Because it's one thing if it's family. It's one thing if it's people that you're really, really close with. It's another thing if it's like your significant other's family or it's like you're at a friend's house or you're at, you know, something like that. It's a little bit different. But you get that one person that drops the, let's all go around the table and say something that we're thankful for. Oh, thanks. Now everyone gets to do a little public speaking. And if you're there with people you don't know, there's like some added pressure to like be a little bit clever. And you can always throw out the obligatory, I'm thankful, you know, for all those years we got to have Thanksgiving without having to do this. I mean, that would be nice to say. You can't really say that. I never knew how good I had it until this year when you brought this up. But that might get you excommunicated from the table that you're sitting at. So you don't want to do that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a few things that I'm thankful for. Just in case tomorrow you are forced into this line where they say, hey, let's all go around the table. I'm going to give you a few things that I'm thankful for, and maybe it will kind of spark something for you. So here are some things that I, Clint Daly, am thankful for 2015 Thanksgiving. Of course, I'm thankful for my family, thankful for my friends, I'm thankful for my health. Let's get those ones out of the way. We know those ones. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for those extra fries that fall down in the bottom of the bag when you go to, you know, McDonald's or In-N-Out or something like that. Ooh, those are, I don't know why. Those ones taste just a little bit better. I don't know what it is, but they taste a little bit better. You know what else I'm thankful for? And it doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while I'll be scrolling through, you know, TV and I'll just be flipping through and I'll hit like on the Cartoon Network or something and I'll see some of those old Bugs Bunny cartoons. You know when Bugs would like smash someone over the head with an anvil? And there was no like parental warning about do not try this at home. Because if you wanted to launch yourself out of a cannon in like a Batman suit, That's just thinning the dumbest in the herd. That's fine. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. We didn't have to put up those warnings because no one was really that stupid at that time. Now we have to, well, my kid actually tried to do that. Well, then your kid probably shouldn't be here. You know what else I'm thankful for? You know when you get to peel the plastic off of that brand new cell phone? Man, there's something. I don't know what it is. There is something satisfying about peeling off that plastic. It's just a piece of plastic. It's not any, but man, there is something just awesome about it. I don't know why. You know, another thing I'm thankful for, when you have that team that you hate, there are certain teams in this world that you hate. Let's be honest. You hate that team. You know, maybe it's the Seahawks. You hate that team. And when you saw them get their heart ripped out in the Super Bowl on the last play, there's something that just feels so good about that. Like you're calling your friends that are fans of that team. Oh, how you doing? You okay? I'm sorry. You're not sorry at all. Oh, I hope you're feeling okay. Oh, that looked like it hurt. Did it hurt? It seems like it hurt. Like, are you on a ledge right now? Because I bet that hurt. Oh, that just ripped like that. You thought you were going to win it and then you didn't win it. And not only did you not win it, but oh man, that hurt. Don't you love that? I'm thankful for those moments. I'm thankful for those minutes that you get to feel those kind of things. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for Tiger Woods. Because I'm going to be honest, I'm not a very good golfer. I'm not a golfer. That's just never been, you know, anything that I did. But you know what? I kind of feel like right now I might be able to beat Tiger Woods. And I'm thankful for him being so horrible right now. I'm thankful for good 30 for 30s. Some of the 30 for 30s that they're putting out on ESPN, some of them are great. Some of them have really, really interesting, you know, storylines. And, you know, we talked a little bit recently about the one they did on Colorado football. There's been the one about the 1983 NFL draft. That one was phenomenal. If you haven't seen the one, I think it's called The Two Escobars, you know, at some point we might have to do like review some of the 30 for 30s and talk about some of the better ones that they've had. Cause some of those are really good. Like I have to watch them. Like, I don't know if you saw the recent one with Mike Tyson and the Evander Holyfield one. No, it was okay. It was okay. But you know, some of those 30 for, I'm thankful for those. I love those things. College football Saturdays, when you literally can watch football from 10 a.m. until like 1 o'clock in the morning the next day. Oh, it doesn't get any better than that. I've had days where I haven't even gotten out of my chair. I'm just sitting there watching football for like 15, 16 straight hours over and over and over again. Oh, it's amazing. College football Saturdays are awesome. Super Bowl Sundays. Thankful for Super Bowl Sundays. Love Super Bowl Sundays. You know, we have turned Super Bowl Sunday into just a holiday. It's like the biggest, one of the biggest party days of the year. Super Bowl Sundays. We don't do anything. It's similar to Thanksgiving. We watch football and we eat. Doesn't get any more American than that. I'm thankful for Kobe Bryant. Because again, he kind of makes me feel like I could probably draw iron more than he does right now. Yes, he's taken a step back in his career, but I'm thankful for Kobe Bryant. Making me feel like I could go out and compete as well as he does right now. I'm thankful for the Stanley Cup playoffs, where it seems like every single shift is like this life or death situation. And I know hockey doesn't have a foothold in America, like some of the sports do. But if you just watch just the playoffs, I can't watch the whole year. I won't lie. I'm not sitting here watching these regular season games and here's game 26. I'm not doing that. But when it gets to the playoffs and every single shift matters, every single shift is life or, I'm watching that. I'll watch some of that. That's some good stuff. I'm thankful for Peyton Manning. For Peyton Manning. Because I'll tell you why. Peyton Manning makes me feel, again, this is some self-gratification. It makes me feel like my arm right now is currently stronger than an all-time NFL great quarterback. Thankful for that. Thankful for the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry for making it cool for kids to play good fundamental basketball. You know, spacing and passing and cutting and shooting. They have made that cool again. That was not cool just a few years ago. That was not cool probably 2 years ago. It was give it to the big guy and get out of his way and let him go to work. Give it to LeBron James, give it to Shaquille O'Neal, give it to somebody like that who is just better physically and more gifted than everyone else. Give it to them and let them take over the game. That's not what Golden State does. Golden State actually plays as a team. Golden State actually utilizes all five players. They move the ball. They move their bodies. They actually shift around. They actually can shoot it. They can pass it. They can cut. Pretty good stuff from Golden State we're getting. I'm thankful for Lakers coach Byron Scott. Because again, he gives me hope that I was a better basketball coach than at least one guy on this planet. Woo. Byron is not doing well. I'm thankful for March Madness, especially those first, that first weekend. You know, you've got the Thursday and it's just like 9-10 o'clock in the morning all day. And then the Friday all day. And then the Saturday all day and Sunday. And then, even when it jumps forward at like the Sweet 16, because now we've whittled away some of the weaker teams. Now you've gotten now you have some really, really good games. Oh, March Madness is good. March Madness is good stuff. I am thankful for March Madness for sure. Finally, I am genuinely thankful for all of you who listen and share the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. You read the articles, you email, you send me tweets, you send me stuff, you send me texts, whatever it might be. To all of you who are out there right now listening, I say thank you. Let's keep it going. Did you go do, I have to ask my audience this, and feel free to email, feel free to let me know, text me, I don't care, whatever. Did you go do the Black Friday shopping thing? Be honest. Did you do it? We talked about it just a little bit last week. Did you go do the Black Friday? I'm watching some of the videos that were online of these people that have lost their ever-loving minds, like barging into a Walmart or whatever it is and trying to get, the greatest discounts at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to dwell on this. But I have to say this. Keep one thing in mind. If you're going to go out on Black Friday, here's the thing I want you to keep in mind. Keep in mind where you are. Keep in mind, where you physically are. Because if you're thinking about this, there's people standing in line outside of, Best Buy or Target or whatever it was. If you are waiting to burst into Walmart, what sort of deal is it that you're really getting? It's Walmart. Let's say, I know it's not, but let's say Walmart has said everything in the store is free. You can have it if you come wait in line in 0 degree temperatures at 3 o'clock in the morning, the night after Thanksgiving. You can have it all. What are you getting? Like 15 bucks worth of stuff? Black Friday things. I see these people fighting over a plastic snow globe worth like 35 cents. That's what you're going to risk your life over? It doesn't seem very smart to me is what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you, don't do it. Don't fall into the trap. Don't go do that. Speaking of people that are sometimes just a little bit prickly at times, did you see that Sports Illustrated recently named their sports person of 2015? Now, I don't know about you, but with me growing up, Sports Illustrated was like a big thing to me. Like I can remember when I got home from school on, I think it was on Thursdays, I would run out to the mailbox and get my Sports Illustrated. And no, not just for the swimsuit issue. I went out there and got it every single week. Because Sports Illustrated, whether it was, their basketball coverage or, that's just some phenomenal, phenomenal writers. Those were some of the writers that I remember reading as a kid that I would even to this day probably pattern some of my writing after. Sports Illustrated was the publication that I wanted to read every single week. I still can look back on old Sports Illustrateds and I still kind of remember the pictures or the articles or some of the things that were written in that magazine. They recently released their Sports Person of the Year for 2015. Some of the past winners, of course, you remember, Michael Jordan, Joe Montana, Tiger Woods. This year, now some of this, let's be honest, is a little bit political. Some of this is let's try to be a little bit clever with who we award it to. But this year, Sports Illustrated named tennis great Serena Williams as their Sports Person of the Year for 2015. Serena edged out racehorse American Pharoah and Warriors guard Stephen Curry. But there are many, many people right now who are up in arms over Williams winning it. Let's be honest. Like we talked about with Bo Ryan, Serena Williams has a little bit of kind of that Kobe Bryant to her. She kind of comes off sometimes as being about as cuddly as like a cactus at times, We saw her yell at the ball judge, threatening to do things with a tennis ball to this ball judge that physically probably wouldn't be that pleasant. We've seen Serena sometimes does not like always dealing with the media. She can be a little bit tough to deal with. But understand this. She truly is one of the most underrated athletes of this generation. And some of it is because she plays tennis. Let's be honest. We don't care that much about tennis. In 2015, Serena played 56 matches. She won 53 of them. Now, think about in any other sport. If you played 56 football games or basketball games and you won 53 of them, we'd be blowing you up. Some of that is tennis. As a professional player, she is 737 and 123 in her career. She has won 86% of her matches. She has 69 titles on her resume. Now, there are a couple people you can throw in there. Maybe Steffi Graf, maybe Martina Navratilova. I would say, kind of pound for pound, Serena Williams is probably the greatest female tennis player to ever walk the planet. And we don't talk about her that much. We really don't. But apparently, there's a pretty big backlash against Serena Williams winning this award. Because in the Sports Illustrated online poll, they did an online poll, and SI's website posted this poll of who do you think should win the Sports Person of the Year. Now, I will be completely transparent. I will tell you for me, I would vote for Steph Curry. Because not only is dude like 6'3 and like a 125 dripping wet, he's changing the game. He's changing the way we look at basketball. He's changing the way kids are playing basketball out on their playgrounds right now. And it's not because he's bigger, stronger, faster. It's because he's kind of trickier. Because he's put in his time on the court. Because he really, really works on his skills. So if it were my vote, I probably vote for Steph Curry. That's just me. But when they did the online vote, the winner by a landslide, not even close, was the first Triple Crown winner we've had in 37 years. American Pharoah won in a landslide. I mean, first Triple Crown. I don't remember the last Triple Crown. I mean, I guess that was history. That was amazing. So the public votes for American Pharoah. Here's my only problem. And now you're even hearing some people, hey, American Pharoah should have got that. Sports Illustrated is just trying to be edgy. They're just trying to give it to a female, trying to give it to an African-American female. All these excuses, nonsense. I'm okay with Serena getting it. I told you how I would vote. I'm good with Serena getting it, though. But now the public is pushing that this American Pharoah, American Pharoah did something historical. American Pharoah did something that we haven't seen in so long and did it in such a dominating way. There's only one problem. And you know me. You know me. You know here on the Daily Dose, we hate to point out these little snags in logic sometimes. But I'm going to point this out. I'm going to have to bring this up. I hate to bring this up, but I'm going to. American Pharoah is a horse, not a person. And I know that, remember back in the day, ESPN thought it was cute a few years ago when they did the greatest athletes of all time and they voted Secretariat on their greatest athletes of all time list. It's not cute. Not only did Secretariat make the list, they were like number three. They were ahead of some of the greatest athletes of all time. It's not cute. It's not clever. It's stupid. I understand that American Pharoah won the Triple Crown. I get it. And you know what? If I'm handing out an award for greatest horse racing horse this year, then by all means, yes, give it to American Pharoah. But stop telling me this horse is an athlete. This horse can't even get to the track without a human getting him there. It's so ridiculous. If that's the case, then I bet I can find like a penguin or something to be an Olympic swimmer. And I'm sure we can find like a silverback ape that can be our weightlifting champion. And I bet somewhere around in a zoo or somewhere, we can probably find like a giraffe that can lead the NBA in block shots. Get out of here. This is athletics. This isn't the circus. Get out of here with this nonsense, American Pharoah sports person. American Pharoah doesn't even choose to be a racehorse. American Pharoah is bred and then is trained by other people to be a racehorse. American Pharoah is a racehorse whether he wants to be or whether he doesn't. He's kind of like, you know, Tiger Woods or Todd Marinovich. Anyways, I've had enough. Stop telling me about horses being athletes. Horses aren't athletes. When the horse can get in the car and drive themselves to the game, then we can talk about it. You know, it's almost Christmas. Are you ready for Christmas? It is December 23rd. You've got, what, 2 days? Got to get out there and get that shopping done so you're not doing it at a gas station the night before. You're watching the Christmas specials. You're going through all the gifts. You're doing, you know, all those things. All those fun things. Are you ready for it? Do you have everything ready? You know, I might have to share a Christmas list with you here in just 1 minute. As usual today, we're going to have our Daily Dose Top 5, always a popular segment on the show. You want to stick around for that. Do you have everything ready? You know, it's funny. Because you just have a few days left to get, those gift cards. You give me a $25 gift card, and then I give you one back. You know, it's the Christmas spirit right there. No thought whatsoever. I love it. I'm gonna be honest. You know, there's nothing like opening Christmas gifts from the people that you're closest to, from the people that you have close relationships. You don't share presents with, typically, with just like strangers. I mean, it's not like you're just handing out things on the streets. You typically share presents and these kind of things with the people that you are closest to. That's juicy you do. And then you're kind of reminded that you don't even know, like, these people well enough to actually buy them a gift. You have to get them the gift card because you're like, I realize we live together. I realize I spend most of my time with you. I realize we're family or friends or whatever it might be. I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure I know you quite well enough to actually buy you something that you're going to like. How about just a card and you go get it because I'll probably mess it up. Kind of, you know, how we do things today. And I love it. I'm not complaining. I, you know, get those cards. You can go do whatever you want with it. Speaking of things that we like, speaking of things, you know, that we want for Christmas, I've got a list of things that I'm actually going to be asking for. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being greedy. Some of these things are for other people. It's not that it's all for me. There are a few Christmas gifts, you know, I'm going to ask for myself, but I've got a few things I'm going to ask for. Here is my Christmas list for 2015. A few different things that I'm just asking for. And like I said, they're not all for me. But I've got a few things that I want to ask for Christmas this year. First off, for Denver Broncos head coach Gary Kubiak, I would like to ask, dear old Santa Claus, could you please bring this man some second half adjustments? Because the Broncos are going out in the first half. Obviously, the first series, they're starting to even look good. They've got some scripted plays. They've got some things that they're doing in the first half that are working. And then the other team changes and Kubiak's like, yeah, that's kind of all I had. That was kind of it. I am out. I don't know what to do now. Stuff in the first half is no longer working. I'm not really sure what I should do. So I'm just asking if Santa could bring him some second half adjustments, I would appreciate it. Gosh, I'm trying to think of some people, you know, that were big in sports this year. Jordan Spieth, Masters winner Jordan Spieth. He's just 20 years old. He's just a kid. I would like for Santa to bring him like a Tiger Woods cautionary tale. Like, don't, and here's the key. Like, there's a few different ways you can go on. Don't get your wife a set of golf clubs. Maybe that's probably the biggest lesson we can take from that. I'm sure there's another lesson in there somewhere, but I would like, Jordan, just be careful. You're young. You're very good. I'm not sure you're Tiger good, but you're very good. Be careful. Be careful, young man. There are obstacles out there for you. For Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry, I would like Santa Claus to bring him a genuine thank you. Just a genuine thank you for teaching kids that you can play basketball with your mind and with your skills that you've honed with years and years of practice instead of just being bigger than everyone else. That's something that kids today are starting to watch and starting to say, hey, I think I could do that. Hey, I'm going to try to do that. I'm actually going to work on my skills. Yeah, you can't actually control how big you are, but you can control how hard you work and if you go out there and actually work on your game. So, you know, Steph Curry, he deserves that, I think. You know, soccer this year, with FIFA and the officials they had, I'm gonna wish, I'm going to give them like a Christmas wish. Here's what I'm wishing for FIFA officials. I'm hoping that while they are in prison, they teach a course on like ethics. Because, I mean, they were taking bribes, they were taking money. Here, we'll award you a World Cup in your area or your country if you'll pay us enough for it. Hopefully, while you're in prison, they have some sort of ethics course. For anyone out there, any of my listeners, just anyone in the world in general, if you bought and paid for the Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao fight, I am wishing for you, I'm wishing that Santa Claus will bring you a full refund. Now, it was the fight I thought it would be. It went exactly how I thought it would go. But I tried to warn people, don't buy the fight. I said, you can listen to the show, you can go back and find old episodes. Don't buy this fight. It's not going to be a very good fight. It's probably not going to go the way you want it to go. Full refund for you. For Peyton Manning, quarterback Peyton Manning, I just wish Santa would bring him a body that is capable of performing the tasks that his mind knows to do. Like, his mind is sitting there saying, okay, drop back, three-step drop, I look here, I fire the ball, boom, it's in there, and the play moves on, and here we go. His body is not capable of doing those things. He knows what to do, he just can't do it. Hopefully, Santa helps him out there. For Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant had a pretty good game last night. Kobe Bryant, I think he had 27. They beat the Nuggets. Way to go, Nuggets. Here's rock bottom for you. Here's what I'm hoping for Kobe. It's asking a lot. And this, I'm going to be honest, this is one of the toughest ones out there that I have on my list. It's probably not the toughest, but it's one of the toughest. Could you please let Kobe have an assist? Just one. I'm not asking for like a ton. I'm not asking for like a triple double or anything like that. Just one. Can you just give him one assist? Just one. For LeBron James. LeBron James, still one of the biggest, baddest dudes in the NBA. Probably, one of the best players in the NBA. And this is a little bit of a tougher one. I realize, Santa, I'm asking for a lot on this one. Can you bring LeBron maybe a few more excuses should he fail to win it all again? Because, Cleveland went out there and they re-got all these guys. They signed them to big contracts. He's got talent around him. We can't say he doesn't have talent around him. He does. He signed all these guys to big money. But if they don't get it done, if they get beat by Golden State or they get beat by San Antonio or they don't even make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I feel like LeBron might need some more excuses. We've had some excuses for him in the past. Well, he didn't have good enough players. He had, cramps. He might need something else. He rammed his head into a camera flopping. Whatever it is, I don't know. But just, he might need a few more excuses. For the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots. And their fans. It's not just the Patriots. It's and their fans. I just, Santa, can you please just bring them some karma? You know what I mean. You listener, you're sitting right there. You know what I mean. I don't have to explain myself. Just a little karma. Just a tiny bit. For college football, just a few less bowls. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to look in on the bowls, but there's like 40 bowls this year. And here's the problem. We have had 5-7 San Jose State, 5-7 Nebraska, and 5-7 Minnesota. They all got bowls this year. They all got bowl games this year. Are we really rewarding people for going 5-7? That's what we want to do? Everyone gets a ribbon. Here's what I want to see. If we're going to do that, And we clearly are. Because see, here's the thing. I know that I'm wishing for that, but what I'm basically wishing for is I'm wishing that colleges out there are basically going to say, well, we'd like to stop printing money. Because when they have these bowl games, they're getting paid. That's why they have the bowl games. So I realize that's not realistic. I know. I say it's too many bowl games. They ought to back it off. They ought to have like 20 bowl games, and that ought to be it. But I realize I'm wishing, will you guys stop printing money? I realize that's not realistic. So I'm going to change my wish just a little bit. If we're going to do that, and we're going to give bowl games to horrible teams, then let's do this. Let's schedule the only D1 teams in the country that don't have a win. So we got 0-12 Central Florida versus 0-12 Kansas in the Toilet Bowl or whatever. Maybe we should sponsor this. Maybe this should be the Daily Dose Bowl. Everyone else has a bowl. Why can't we have a bowl? The Daily Dose Bowl features 0-12 Central Florida versus 0-12 Kansas. And someone is going to get their first win of the year. I don't know who it's going to be. They're both horrible. I know Kansas has a nearly a 400-point differential this season. So they're both awful. Maybe we should just do that. Maybe we... Santa, can you bring us the Daily Dose Bowl? I'll be honest. I might watch it. It would be kind of intriguing TV, wouldn't it? For NFL refs. For the NFL refs. And I know it's a thankless job. I did a little bit of officiating at a very low level. And it was one of the most challenging things I've ever done in my life. That was in basketball. Of course, basketball doesn't stop. You don't get the huddle in between. You're constantly going. But for NFL refs, I know it's a thankless job, but can you just some consistency? Just some? Any consistency? Just like the same call twice both ways? That's all I'm asking for. It's reached a point where I watch the games and I'm having to cover some of these games. And I don't have any idea what the refs are going to call. I watch a play, I watch a catch, I watch an interception, and I look at it, and it used to be you'd say, okay, well, he's got control, he's got 2 feet. I don't have any idea now. I don't have any idea. The NFL has botched this so horribly, I don't have a clue what's what in the NFL anymore. They look at a replay, and I can look at it and say, well, yeah, that's clearly a catch. And they'll come back, no catch. I'll look at the same replay, almost the exact same play, and I'll say, well, they ruled it a catch last time. This time, nope, that's not a catch. I can't figure out what they're doing. NFL refs, can you just have some consistency? Just any. For college basketball, going to ask Santa Claus for something for college basketball. Can you give us just some sort of reason for the general public to watch your games before March Madness? I know that sounds crazy, because we could care less about college hoops. We don't care 1 ounce. This nation does not care 1 ounce about... Now, once it hits March Madness, then we're all experts. Then we're all watching. It's not a horrible product. It's a decent product. On certain nights, it's better than some of the NBA games that are out there. But maybe they need like a game of the week, or they need to publicize it, or hey, we got a big tournament and we're going to make a big deal out of it. We're going to put it on a primetime network, or something. Because there is no reason to watch college hoops right now, unless you're just a college hoops junkie. You're not watching it. Nobody watches it. They just don't. For youth sport parents, there's a lot of youth sports parents out there. Your son or daughter plays baseball or softball or soccer or football or basketball or whatever it might be. Here's what I'm asking good old Chris Kringle to bring you this year. A dose of reality. Stop thinking that your dumb, ugly child is a future professional athlete. They're not. And, you know, we were at a game this last week. We're at a game. Nine-year-old recreational league. Stop thinking that that's the NBA finals. I'm looking up in the stands, and the parents are losing their minds. They're on their feet. They're screaming at the ref. They're screaming at the coach. They're screaming at the kid. The kids could care less. They just want to know if they're going to get an orange and a soda after the game. They don't care. We are the only ones who care. Parents, stop it. One of my final wishes for the Chicago Cubs and their faithful fans, I'm wishing for, you know, a World Series this year. They've got pieces. They've got talent. They've got bats. They've got pitching. They've got a very, very good manager. They have a chance. The Chicago Cubs have a chance this next year to do something that hasn't been done in over 100 years. The Chicago Cubs possibly win the pennant, go to the World Series. Is that asking too much? Would I be better off asking Santa to like bring peace to the Middle East? The Daily Dose top five this week. You know, we've got Christmas coming in just 2 days. It'll be on Friday. And I started to think about, you know, there's certain athletes, they just kind of have that giving spirit. They just kind of have that, I don't know if it's an unselfishness, but it's a willing to give in key times. And I just thought about, you know, some of these athletes, they could be Santa Claus. There are certain athletes out there. They are so giving in their nature. They could be Santa Claus. Let's count down today. The Daily Dose top five athletes that could be Santa Claus. Hey, hopefully he's coming to your house, you know, Thursday night, Friday morning. Whatever it is. Number five on our list. This guy, pretty amazing. This guy, that was like John Gruden-esque. This guy, you know, Oscar Robertson, has the most triple doubles in NBA history with 181. He had a 14-year career with the Cincinnati Royals and the Milwaukee Bucks. He had 181 triple doubles. You know who's second? Second is Magic Johnson, clear back at 138. You might sit there and say, how on earth? I mean, now LeBron James gets like a triple double and everybody loses their mind. How on earth did Oscar Robertson have 181 of them? Well, in the 61-62 season, he averaged a triple double. In 61-62, he was averaging 30.8 points per game, 12.5 rebounds per game, and 11.4 assists per game. That's never going to be matched. No one's ever going to put up that huge of numbers in one season for his career. It wasn't like he played a short career. It wasn't like, but he played 60. For 14 seasons, his average, 25.7 points, 7.5 rebounds, 9.5 assists. This is a guy that was not afraid to share. We talked about Kobe early in the show getting an assist. This guy would assist. This guy had no problem handing things out. He did a lot of things to contribute. Oscar Robertson, there's a guy that could be Santa Claus in my book. That's a guy who does a lot of things to help you. Pretty unselfish player. I'll definitely put him on my list. Number four on our list. Athletes that could be Santa Claus. Wayne Gretzky. Center Wayne Gretzky played with the Edmonton Oilers, played with the Los Angeles Kings. Now here's the one thing. Because if you don't follow hockey, you might not really grasp this. Wayne Gretzky had 1,963 career assists. Now that doesn't mean anything, you know, in a vacuum. You sit there and say, well, who? If you don't follow hockey, you might not know this. You get a point for an assist and you get a point for a goal. Now in his career, Gretzky has 2,857 career points. Second place would be Mark Messier, who has 1,887 points. You say, who cares? Here's the thing I'm trying to tell you. Wayne Gretzky could have gone his entire career without scoring a single goal, and he would still be the all-time points leader in NHL history. Now, he still had almost 900 goals in his career, but he didn't have to score a single goal. If he doesn't score a single goal, he still is the all-time leading points getter in NHL history. Yeah, I'll take that guy. He might be Santa Claus. He can go hand some things out. He's not afraid to pass gifts around. It's pretty good. Number three on our list. Gotta be Utah Jazz guard John Stockton. Stockton is the all-time NBA leader in assists. The mailman, he was pretty good. Mailman didn't always deliver, though. Stockton did. Stockton had nearly 16,000 assists. Second place, Jason Kidd with just barely over 12,000. That many more. For his career, John Stockton averaged 13 points a game and 10.5 assists per game. Just always steady. Always steady with John Stockton. And dude was one of the greatest passers. It wasn't anything fancy. It was just always accurate, and it was just always steady. Yeah, John Stockton, he could definitely be Santa Claus. Here's a guy who's not afraid to share. Here's a guy who's not afraid to give things out. He could definitely do it. Number two on our list. Well, I don't know if we should have this guy on our list. Brett Favre. Wait a second. Hear me out. Here's the thing. Maybe Brett Favre could be like delivering presents in his Wranglers, even. In his career, he is the all-time NFL leader in interceptions with 336. Next guy on the list is George Blanda with 277. Now, some of that is longevity. Some of that, I mean, Brett played a long, long time. Some of that is Brett liked to share the ball sometimes, and he would throw it to the wrong team. He loved to give. He was a giver. Brief side note, one of the great things about doing this show is you go back and you do some research on some of these things. Here's a stat for you. I just want to throw this out briefly. In 1962, George Blanda had 42 interceptions. 42? How many times did he throw it that year? They weren't throwing it all over the place. I mean, maybe that's AFL football or something. What was he throwing it? 100 times? 42 to the wrong team. Anyways, Brett Favre is also the all-time NFL leader in fumbles with 166. Again, it's a little bit of a longevity record, but bottom line, that's over 500 giveaways by Brett Favre. Favre might be our guy. He's a giver. He is a giver. I don't know who could possibly top Brett Favre on our list of guys that could be Santa Claus. Who are givers? Who, you know, good with the kids? Good. All right, let's see who our number one guy is. Number one on our Daily Dose top five athletes who could be Santa Claus. Sean Kemp. What? How is Sean Kemp on this list? That's not Sean Kemp. He's not. Did Steve Harvey write this list? How is Sean Kemp on our list? I mean, he does have like 37 kids. I guess I could see it. And when you think about it, he does leave surprise packages everywhere he goes. Yeah, I guess it's Sean Kemp. There's our guy that could be Santa Claus. Did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas? Hopefully that you had a great holiday, and I hope that you got everything that you wanted for Christmas. Hopefully you had a very good time. I think I got what most Americans, you know, got for Christmas. I got fat. Speaking of getting fat, now is the time of year that people start, you know, making their New Year's resolutions, which honestly, when you start making those New Year's resolutions, it usually consists of, I want you to think back to everything you do on New Year's Eve. And then putting the word stop in front of all those things. So I'm going to stop eating until I loathe myself. I'm going to stop drinking until I don't know, black out and wake up in a puddle of my own sick. I'm going to stop saying, see you next year, you know, on New Year's Eve in an attempt to be clever. We don't need to do those things anymore. But enough of those resolutions. I'm going to make some real resolutions right now. Like, we all do the, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to do all those things. I'm going to give you guys some real Daily Dose resolutions. Here are my 2016 New Year's resolutions. In 2016, a couple things that I'm really going to focus on doing. First off, I'm going to stop making fun of sports officials. Sure, I know they're like about as dependable or consistent as like a jittery crackhead, but it doesn't mean I should point that out every single time. We saw some calls this last week in the NFL. I don't even know what they're looking at. And then I look at the replay and it seems to show exactly opposite of what they call. I don't understand it. I'm going to try to stop making fun of officials. I know they have a tough job. I know they have a difficult time. Another resolution that I'm going to give you. I'm going to try to do a better job of accepting the fact that Tim Tebow is out of the NFL because he's just not a very good quarterback. He's not very good at football. I'm going to forget the fact that Jimmy Clausen, Kellen Moore, Austin Davis, and Dan Orlovsky have taken snaps this season in the NFL. I just have to learn to live with the fact that Tebow was worse than any of those guys, right? And it didn't have anything to do with his religion. It was purely football. I'm going to try to do a better job with that. I'm going to stop being so skeptical of Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones as the general manager of the Cowboys. Okay. So he told us how good Brandon Whedon and Matt Cassel would be. And yes, those two clowns, you know, they threw like five or six touchdowns, had like 9 or 10 interceptions, and Dallas went 1-10 with them starting. And let's be, you know, honest. Dallas has averaged basically 8 wins a season since they got rid of Jimmy Johnson and him being the GM. And that includes those 8 wins a season. That includes the 3 seasons after Johnson left, where they were averaging like 12 wins and they were all with Johnson's players and all with Johnson's draft picks. Jerry Jones is a genius. Forget the fact that he doesn't really show it in the GM booth. I have to accept that. He's a really, really super smart guy and he's really, really intelligent. I'm going to do my best to try to accept him as the GM down there. He's doing a phenomenal job. 8-8. I'm going to stop. One of the things I'm going to do in 2016, I'm going to start harping on the fact that Kobe Bryant shoots too much. I mean, yes, I give him a hard time about him always shooting too much and just jacking up shot after shot after shot. And yes, I know. He owns the record for most misses in NBA history. But it's only because he's never gotten to play with much talent around him. He had to carry those teams. I mean, when you think of the players that Kobe has had to play with, I mean, he's played with garbage his whole career. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal, Robert Horry, Glenn Rice, Jerome Kersey, Ron Harper, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Pau Gasol, Horace Grant. I mean, dude has had to carry those scrubs. What else could he do? Yes, he had to jack up a few shots. But it was only out of just necessity he had to do it, because he never got to play with anyone good. And lastly, finally, I'm going to stop dismissing the opinions of celebrities on important subjects. Because you'll hear a celebrity come on TV, or they get loose on a radio station, or maybe they say something in the print media, and you hear a celebrity say something, and you're like, you don't even live in the real world. You don't have any idea what things are like in the real world. How are you voicing an opinion on these things? I mean, we'll hear celebrities voicing opinions on things like politics and world affairs. I mean, if Kim Kardashian and Justin Bieber want to voice their opinions on Syria and what's going on there, who am I to question them? I'm going to try to change. I mean, who am I to question the most famous women on the planet? Now, you might be listening to these, and you might be saying, Clint, we know you can't stick to those resolutions. Like, there's no way you're going to stick to that. But I can probably stick to it as long as most people stick with their, no more drinking and weight loss and work out every day and be a better person resolutions. I can probably make it to, I don't know, Monday, something like that. I think I can do it. And yes, I don't know if I'll make it much longer than that. I'm going to do my best. You know, 2015 was a crazy year in sports. When you think back to this year, sports, it's a little bit crazy. And think of some of the top stories that took place in the year of sports. Let's look back at 2015 a little bit. Because it's been a crazy sports year. And that's kind of what we love about sports, isn't it? That we don't know how things are going to go. Remember back in January. It was just back in January, a year ago, when Ohio State won the first ever college football playoff that we've ever had. This despite the fact everyone telling us in the media, Ohio State didn't really belong there. It should have been Baylor. It should have been TCU. It should have been someone. It should have been Ohio State. They didn't even belong there. And then they make it. Not only do they make it, and they win the whole thing. Which now, when you think about it, you kind of think back to every national championship ever and are like, I know we thought we got it right. I don't even know if we got those right. Like, now we doubt every national championship game that's ever been played to this point, because now I don't know. Maybe the third best team would have won the whole thing. I don't know. Maybe a team we weren't even looking at would have won the whole thing. It kind of changes that a little bit. And then in February, we move forward to February, and we have the Super Bowl, and the Seattle Seahawks give the New England Patriots the Super Bowl. You remember, they got the ball back, they're driving, they're down inside the five, they have the biggest, baddest running back in their backfield, and I mean, they give the ball, I mean, just give the ball to the Patriots. Literally, give the ball to the Patriots. And as soon as that happened, and the New England Patriots win the Super Bowl, we're immediately told that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are the greatest quarterback coach combo of all time. Like immediately, declarations were made. Oh, well, now it proves it. Brady's the best ever. Which is just kind of weird, because it kind of shows how fickle sports fans really are. Because if Russell, Wilson, doesn't throw that stupid pass, he audibles out of that dumb call from Pete Carroll or whatever, they run the ball and they score, not only are we not talking about Brady and Belichick as being the best ever, we're probably starting to talk about how they're some of the biggest chokers of all time, because, man, they just keep finding ways to lose close Super Bowls. They lost two to the Giants, and now they lost one to the Seahawks. It's a fine line. It's a fine line in sports. From going to, you might be one of the biggest chokers ever, to, you're probably the greatest quarterback who's ever lived. And, I mean, we have proof. Look at all the Super Bowls you've won. It's a fine line. It's a little bit, fickle how these things work. We fast forward to June, and we saw the Golden State Warriors beat the Cleveland Cavaliers to win the NBA Finals. And in that, speaking of things that are just a little bit fickle, Andre Iguodala wins the Finals MVP despite the fact that Iguodala wasn't the leading scorer. And let's be real clear, he wasn't the best player on the floor. I don't know if the writers just decided we're going to give it to him. Or I don't know what it was. It was a little bit odd. Best player was clearly Steph Curry. And they decided to give it to Iguodala instead. Again, it's a little bit fickle. It's a little bit flaky sometimes. And, I mean, then LeBron James was named head coach and you know, of the year, which is also a little weird, I'll be honest. He won flopper of the year, though, so I guess that is okay. That made more sense. Not all the sense. Also in June, we saw the Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup Finals, which was thrilling to Chicago fans. I mean, that's a big thing. Chicago fans, you know, a lot of those fans back there, old-time hockey fans, they kind of get it. Great franchise. Blackhawks are a phenomenal franchise. Plus, you know, all those bandwagon fans that you see, you know, the guy that's at your work, and he has no allegiance to Chicago whatsoever, but he's got a Blackhawks jacket on. He's got like a Blackhawks jacket, like a Yankees hat, and like a Notre Dame shirt on. Awesome. Yeah, the Blackhawks winning it was really, really big to that guy. That guy really, he needed a win. Also, in July, you know, the USA wins the FIFA Women's World Cup in soccer. It is a phenomenal win. They rolled all the way through. The gold medal game was this huge thing, and it was all exciting, the final match. And we all pretended to, like, care about soccer, women's soccer at that. And we cared, I don't know, we cared for like a week, maybe. Tell me a women's soccer event that's happened since then. Like, name one. Like, we can't come up with any. We paid attention literally for like 8 days in July, and we haven't paid attention to it since, and we won't again until another 4 years. Like, we don't care. Maybe the Olympics. Maybe the Olympics. But we haven't paid attention to it since. I mean, we don't care. But it was fun for a while. We were chanting USA, doing some things. Also, in July, American Pharoah. Racehorse American Pharoah won the first triple crown in horse racing in 39 years. In 39 years, go back 40 years. And we all got excited and act like we knew something, like anything. Like we knew anything about horse racing. We're talking about, oh yeah, he's this age and he really likes the mud. And we don't have any idea about horse racing. Nobody knows. We don't care. It's one of those sports that we don't even pay attention to. No one cares about. But all of a sudden we were all experts. Dropping knowledge on horse racing. Well, you know, he likes running from the inside. He likes really getting on that post. I don't have any idea about horse racing. I don't care. You know the thing about horse racing that stands out to me? We completely ignore the enslavement and manipulation of these little people that get strapped to the back of these horses and have to run around this track. I think it's wrong, and I'm not afraid to say so. Finally, in November, One of the big stories of 2015, UFC fighter Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey was like the baddest woman on the planet. I mean, when she fights, it's not like a matter of if she's going to win. We know she's going to win. She's like the baddest. I mean, she's nasty. Like she's bringing back, you know, images of like Mike Tyson and these people that you're just like, no, you don't get in a ring with her. And back in November, she faced Holly Holm in her sixth title defense. And like I said, it wasn't a matter of if she would win. We all knew she was going to win. It was just a matter of will she knock her out in 20 seconds or will it be 30 seconds or will she make it like a minute? Will she make it a round? But the fight didn't go the way that we thought it would. And Rousey found herself out colder than a Bill Cosby dinner date. But see, that's what makes sports so much fun. We don't know how they're going to go. And just when we think we have it all figured out, it somehow still manages to surprise us. There you have it, the Daily Dose Christmas in July. You know, I hope that it served to cool you off just a little bit as we sweat through these hot, boring summer months. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to wherever it is that you download the podcast and give us a quick rating and a 5-star review. We would appreciate that so much. Next week, we will have something a little different for you, and we will keep you entertained during this time of the year. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.